Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Wednesday, February the 24th, 2021. And I have the honor to have Professor Paul on, Professor Joe and Jeff, financial expert. And I'm just going to let them bring their subjects up, but I want to bring to everybody's attention something in the beginning here. Now, this is what I picked up on in the past couple days, and I did it by a freak. One of the things I picked up from a cop that I know, without getting into it, but here's what the deal is, folks. Apparently about 75% of the cops believe in America the place is getting ready to blow up. They believe that we're going to be under a civil war or something super unrest. And the reason that they are concerned about this is that they are being told by the Justice Department to be prepared to take the guns from the American people. Now, from what I gathered, about 75% of the cops are going to refuse to do that. About 25% might go out there to try to take guns. Well, take guns from the American, you're probably going to get shot. Now, something else I picked up on, which is about 75% of the military do not want to take the shot. 75% of our military do not want to take the shot. And remember, folks, if the people ever rose against the government, about 75 to 80% of the military would stand with the American people. I believe that to be true. With that said, I bring welcome Joe first, because I'll let you bring up what you're going to discuss, Joe.
All right. Everybody knows and has seen what COVID has done. It was dry run way back in 2014. It was called Dark Winter. That was the name of the event. And it was essentially to say, what will happen if a pandemic overtakes the world? What do we do? That was then, having said that, the very same simulation was brought about with last March by COVID-19 and the collapse of the American economy, and really the world economy, where small businesses, 50% went out of business. And so now we are faced with this dilemma of masses of unemployed people, not enough money, not enough jobs, all because of COVID. So now, Whitney Webb did a fine exposition at Unlimited Hangout. Unlimited Hangout. And it's a little bit complicated, a little bit tricky to get into that website. But if I try to tell you how to do it, to look for Dark Winter and CyberPilotWAN, you will become kind of confused. So just work your way through it the best you can. Email it out to friends, Dark Winter and CyberPolygon, to your friends, so they can become aware of what has really happened. Now, CyberPolygon is going to be the next big event. And this coming July, we are going to do a simulation of where the entire computer digital world is going to be hacked. And it's led by Russia. So it's called Cyber Polygon. Now, there is this the idea, according to them, is there is this overexpanding digitalization that has entered the collectivity between people, their devices, their companies, and their countries. In other words, what it's saying is everything is connected to the internet. What would happen if some hacker came in and did something? Would it bring it down? So at the World Economic Forum, they came to the realization that there has to be some sort of resilience in the entire system. And it would be dependent upon each ability with each section to withstand the different types of attacks that might happen. And so now, what they are going to do covertly is build in this resiliency in our global system and to protect it against what they have called cyber crime. There is a website called BiZone, BI:Zone, and it comes out of Russia. They are going to do the kickoff. And this is going to be leading into the Great Reset. And what that means is there's going to be a transition to a fourth industrial revolution, which will be globally, the economy in which human beings will become increasingly irrelevant. There will be masses of people left unemployed by the increasing automation and digitalization in the workplace. So, digitally based systems are partnered with central banks. And what they want to do is to be able to control the mass of unemployed people and to be able to handle that. That system then would allow central banks to turn off a person's money and access to services if the person doesn't comply with certain laws, mandates, and regulations. The system is called stakeholder capitalism. It's kind of a corporate-style fascism that Mussolini brought in. The current system, in other words, has to be collapsed, and it will be done by war, plague, and economic collapse. And the Russian Federation will open the simulation. Again, it's BiZone, and it's a subsidiary of the Russian government controlled. And by the way, Tony Blair is very heavily involved in this.
Everybody, excuse me, just a second. Everybody mute your mics, folks. We're getting too much feedback.
Pandemics to reform society according to their own design and benefit. Serve Bank is the largest shareholder in the Russian government, and it's a kind of a consumer tech giant, a one-step digital shop for all services in Europe. They are going to come up with what is called a new cyber coin. And the next severe pandemic will cause great illness and loss of life. And what they want to do in the future is to train children in AI, machine learning, data analysis, to help them learn mathematics and programming skills. And there will be approximately 20 teams in Cyber Polygon, and they will be pitting each other against each other. And the Biden administration has sent John Kerry to underscore the U.S. commitment to the Great Reset agenda and the fourth industrial revolution. It is the automation of everything, of all jobs, the automation of all jobs in China, the United States, Israel, Canada, and India. The theme of this is simulated crisis is to be and to benefit the Great Reset agenda. And the public, by the way, will not be part of the shareholders in that new corporation. It's called a cyber winter, and Israel will become the greatest beneficiary of what they now call cyber winter. It is the financial destruction of big institutions. A digital monopoly accomplished by Cyber Bank. So there you have it, folks. In a nutshell, what's going to be, they're going to do this in July and of the simulation, and sometime after July, they'll implement it. So heads up.
Paul, you want to comment? Any questions?
If I'm going first, I want to just say that, well done, Joel. Thank you. The parasite running the world, and those who are proposing their it's set up is what it is, and one can't say they haven't put truth out in plain sight. Anybody that's slightly concerned can figure out that what they've been doing long before we were born is they've been creating the context for maximum pain, suffering, misery, death, and destruction. And so their plans in a number of documents through a number of forums are being made clear. And what Joel just did was a great 5-7 minute summary of a 20 minute article that I think people should read, which is on Unlimited Hangouts. It's by Whitney Webb. It's not an easy website, so you just got to go there and kind of maneuver. You'll find it. And possibly what I could do is capture the link, and we can put it on Stu's site here after the show. I want to talk very quickly about Vienna and two examples of Vienna. I think most people are aware of Napoleon's statement about Vienna, and then I want to begin, though, with the Khan trio. It starts with Genghis or Genghis Khan, and then it finishes finally with Kublai Khan. And so what the Mongols did over a period of about 100 years is they basically controlled a lot of territory, and they almost made it to Vienna. Well, that now sends me to Napoleon, and Napoleon is famous for a statement. If you say you are going to take Vienna, you take Vienna. Now, through the World Economic Forum, through the Rockefeller Report, through 201, the exercise, all of their documents, Agenda 2030, Agenda 21, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, a report from Iron Mountain, the Club of Rome, Paul Warburg's testimony, by consent or by conquest, America's going to be part of the New World Order. They have long had plans in place, and their planning is into great detail. And when they say they're going to take Vienna, they're going to take Vienna. Now, a couple ways they could do this was the Orwellian way is to put us all into fear. And one only needs to go out and look at people wearing masks to know that they've really been successful with fear. And then just to show the fear, they've offered these vaccines that aren't medicine, and people have willingly, seemingly, taken these vaccines. And I'd like Joel to comment further later on where he's at with the vaccines, because some things I want to still deny. But anyway, they've done fear very well. But then there's Aldous Huxley. He and his brother Julian, you talk about a two-person wrecking crew. But basically, Huxley said we're going to do it by incentives. And those incentives would be things that people think are pleasurable. Or I'm going to simplify it. It's called the easy button. And we have fallen for all of their foreign or alien or fallen watcher technology. We are totally surveilled. They know what we're doing, and for the most part, they know what we're thinking, and they have infiltrated every institution. The best way to control the opposition, of course, is to lead it. And so what you've got is a plan, and they have done about everything they think they need to do on the chessboard to make their plan reality Their ultimate goal, of course, is K2+. It's called transhumanism. Transhumanism means no longer human. Their final goal for them, anyway, is immortality. No longer death, no longer human. Merge man and machine. Merge man with AI. Now, once we get into AI, we get into quantum computing. And I'm not going to go into great detail except to say that with AI or super AI, they can run billions of scenarios simultaneously and go into the dimensions, and I call it atomized space. And there's a guy named Richard Feynman who said, if you think you understand quantum physics, you don't. And I've always remarked that one of the reasons that he couldn't explain is he didn't really understand it. And I'm not sure that any of us truly understand quantum physics from a theoretical point of view, but I think we can understand it slightly from an engineering point of view. And what they have done is they have socially engineered, they have mind controlled, they have used propaganda. And it's great to hear what Stu learned from the police, and it's also encouraging to know that a lot of people in the military and possibly DHS are monkey wrenches. All of that being said, they are going to take Vienna, and so you and I, we have our plan. How are we going to maintain Vienna? Well, it's real simple. God has a plan for each of you. You were born for a time such as this. In the opening of the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is told, before you were flesh and blood, I knew you. And that's true for all of us. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible many places. I'm just giving you one example. So we are here to get out of here. And our best lives may not be in this world. It may be in the world to come and in eternity. And that's where we're all heading anyway. We're all made of dust and going to return to dust. And so occupy and resist. What does occupy and resist look like? Occupy and resist looks like turning to Jesus. He lived a sinless life, born a virgin, was sacrificed on a cross. His blood is what redeems us. He rose from the dead. He overconquered death. You put your trust in him. You get into your Bible. You start with John. You get into Isaiah. You read the Gospels. You get serious, you get the sin out of your life, you repent, and God made a bunch of promises, and it will never leave us, he'll always be with us, and everything he does will work for the good. So that's how we take Vienna, and because they're going to take Vienna, and they're going to collapse the economy here next 30 to 60 days. They've got universal basic income slated for everybody, but they're going to make it conditional. And all of their nonsense about sustainability, inclusivity, resiliency, unity, equality, it's so much nonsense. It is just pure deception. And I hope what we're doing here is we're giving you material to bolster what you already know. I just happen to watch 666 Fox. And that piece of human garbage, James Woolsey, got on and once again argued a lone gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald, killed Kennedy. Now, are you kidding me? How do these people even keep a straight face? So if they lie about that, and they lie about 9/11, and they lie about Tonkin Gulf, and they lie about the Maine and the Lusitania, and anyway, I got to stop you guys. Back to you, Stu and Jobber, please. Take over.
Well, that was a good summation of Joel, and then you springboarding into what you explained, Paul, the connectivity of all of that. Like getting back to what Joel mentioned, we get a lot of these simulations, and all these simulations seem to magically come to fruition. You get blocked and strong, and then you have a crock pot blowing up everywhere, what a pressure cooker's school situations. I mean, all these things are precursors to events that then portray reality. So you have to take them serious. And I noticed too in this article, and what I've been hearing is everything is this, it's great. It's great, reset. It's the great. But kind of the goal, I guess, I get back to what Joel was mentioning too. Okay, so we kind of know the goal. Touched on it being stakeholders. We're really not in control of anything. We are witnesses to what's happening. And I think what we have to look at with, you know, we're going to make Russia, I guess, the enemy. And maybe Russia's even in on the whole thing. I'm sure they are to some degree. So the strange thing is now we had to identify somebody as the culprit for this poly, what are we calling it again, guys? The poly...
Poly cyber.
There we go. So we've got the enemy identified. We've got the potential villain. So now, what's the goal? Well, it's kind of the melt up in wealth transfer. And we're not included. You know, the money's got to go somewhere. You're going to flush the money. You're coming to the end of the game. I mean, when Rome extended itself, it kept going and going until what? It ran out of money. And then they had to debase their currency by taking the gold, cut the corners on the gold. That's where we got cutting the corners. You melt it down, and then you mix in weaker alloys. You mix in, you know, metals that are tin and copper, and now it isn't gold anymore because you can't stretch your army far enough because you can't control that. So they get out far enough where they say, screw this, we're just going to take what we want to take. And I think the USA is kind of in that empire expansion point to where now it is the decline, as we all know. But what's the goal of it all? You know, to pass the wealth up to those who trickle upward. And we're going to be the Hunger Games people. We're going to be groveling around for the leftovers. But in the meantime, stay unified. Boston strong. Be resilient. Stay the course. You know, that's what we're being preached upon. And I guess looking at this from that aspect, we are in kind of a weird situation. There is no doubt about it. You know, whatever it's going to take to bring down perhaps the power supply, you know, they're talking about that, but you start interrupting the power, then you affect the sewage, you affect the hospitals, you affect society. I mean, everything gets rippled. So it wouldn't take, honestly, much when everything is so connected. And that's the problem with connectivity. It's all related to itself. You kill one component off, and you do get all components suffering from that same disease. So anyway, it's well thought out, it's well constructed, it is planned, it's great, and everybody, you got to usher out your puppet faces that everybody has to see on the tube. You got to get your Gateses, your Faucis, your political parties out there. You got to get all the players out in front of everybody all the time. And somebody that I was listening to the other day made comment that, you know, he went to see his parents. And all that was on was COVID, 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 COVID on the TV, COVID, COVID, and to the point of sickening. So anyway, I guess I'm rambling now, but great observations, guys. I think that's more tended.
Go ahead, Stu.
Well, I don't know what to say. I'm glad all three of you are on here. Good explanation. What else is to say?
I want to make a point here. Joffrey and I talked last night, and we were talking about what can we do to be the most effective. And Stu, you don't know, we talked about this, but we basically said, you know, there are alternative media sites out there. And the one thing about the mainstream media that everyone knows is it's all disinformation and misinformation propaganda. And it's so over the top. It's just probably... one reason they're so effective is the lies are so big. But then we got into the alternative that, wow, okay, so I try and listen to a couple of podcasts. I think the listener knows. I listen to Stan Johnson of the Prophecy Club. I'll admit it, yeah, I listen to Stan. And one of the reasons that I listen to Stan is he had Dimitri Dudeman and Henry Gruber on. And I tell you what, if two guys heard from God, I'm telling you, it was Dimitri Dudeman and Henry Gruber. Dudeman came over from Romania and had prophecies for America, and they seemed to be becoming very true. And Henry Gruber was a prayer walker, and my goodness, his testimony and his visions seemed to be holding true as well. But I want to talk about alternative media platforms, and the one thing I want to say is that Joffrey and I concluded, are you kidding? We get to be on with Stu Webb and Joel. And it's our opinion that we are the only uninfiltrated site that we can say for sure exists. Now, there's a program called Night Shadows. I think they're probably not infiltrated too, but my goodness, you have to listen to hundreds of hours to get, you know, maybe 10 hours information. It's always a kind of a, how are we going to use our time? I'm a reader, okay? Well, here's my bigger point, you guys. I know that I'm trying to stay away from story time and saying too much about stuff that the listener doesn't necessarily want to hear. But you have Stu Webb, who's running his own website, and he was smart enough never to get on YouTube, never to get on Facebook or FaceSpace or Instagram, and or any of these other platforms that are going to be platformed. Now, what I also know about Stu is he's got to go through a lot of trouble, and he's not got the latest technology. And so what I want to say to everyone is, we're trying to give you podcasts. We're trying to give you stuff that you can share with other people. We're not in the entertainment business. What we're trying to do is get the message out. And we hope that our message resonates, and we hope it bolsters what you already know or gives you new information. But we also know as times get more wicked, we all got to be together. And I know Stu has made some living adjustments. It sounds like he's living in the Amity horror show right now. And so any donations, of course, are appreciated. I'd like to see Stu upgrade, but is that going to be possible? I don't know. Some of it depends on finances and so forth. Anyway, that's my spiel. Back to you guys.
I want to add a comment what you said about the bigger the lie. Daddy Bush told Al Martin, the Iran-Contra whistleblower, because Al told me. And he said, Stu, he says, I was in a meeting with Daddy Bush, and he told me, he says, they aren't going to believe this. They aren't going to believe this. He says, the bigger the lie, the more they believe it. The bigger the lie, the more the people believe it. Take 911 as an example. Big lie. Now, Paul, I am on Twitter, am on Facebook, am on Google. Now, Google removed tons of my videos, the satanic human sacrifice, where an FBI raid, ATF raid, California, it's up on my site. They took that down. They took other videos down, things down. But Facebook and Twitter locked me out about 2 years ago, folks. You haven't seen anything posted from me. Maybe close to 3 years ago. And they won't give me a passcode to get in to kill the account. And they won't kill the account because they want disinformation or try. Because if my former so-called radio network. But I've removed all those links, so they've had the problem. But they don't want me known out there anymore. Not on those platforms, that's for sure, Paul. But go ahead.
Well, let me put this in. Keeping the theme of cyberspace, cyber polygon, to show folks how gridded we are in, go to your intersections in your city, look up at the telephone poles and in the lights, you will see cameras at every major intersection, and at minor intersections are cameras. That those cameras are not just to monitor accidents that happen, but they monitor everywhere you go, because on your license plate, there is a coat of paint that allows them to monitor you specifically and what is your pattern. And they have it all on, all of it is automatic, and it looks like a scan with a needle going over some paper. And what they do is they monitor your routine. All of this is sent up to a place called Bluffdale, where profiles are made of every individual in this country. People say that can't be. Yes, it is, because they have the computer power to do it at Bluffdale. Tell them a little about Bluffdale, Stu.
Well, my buddy Otis Johnson went out there at one time with General Flynn, and I put Otis on the tarmac at the airport in Grand Island, and he got on the General's plane. And you talk about a General's plane. You should see those wings, folks. There's crap in those wings. They just flop out of there. Missiles, oh, they're thick. Anyway, I saw him saluting. He saluted towards me. I saluted him back. I left. He came back. He says, Stu, six floors below ground. He says, beyond computers. Six floors below ground, beyond computers. And he says, you're right. They built an alien base on the south side. Because, folks, I was driving across the desert, or Nevada there, on I-70 where it ends, at I-95, I think, or not 95, I-15. And there's a town called Richfield, Utah. I'll never forget it. I stopped there several times for gas, going into to Las Vegas, coming back, driving back towards Colorado. I was doing a lot of speeches during that period of time. And I'm humping over these kind of hill area. It's coming up to the Richfield area, and it's east of Richfield, actually about 30, 40 miles, and it's a natural park up there. And they've got a restroom at the top. And I'm cruising through there, and all of a sudden, I'm running probably 90, 95 miles an hour, and I got a radar detector. And I'm hauling balls through there in a new car. Anyway, used to drive like that. All of a sudden, bam, I see lights flashing, red lights bouncing off my windshield. Boy, I dropped speed way down to 55, and it was about 70 through there, I think, something like that. I dropped down, and I humped the next hill, and it almost blinded me. And I put my hand up to try to see what's going on. So I finally stopped and realized it's coming out of the side of a mountain. It's coming out of this hill. These are lasers. There's a boring machine cut a hole. I said, shit, I'm out of here. So I got out as fast as I could and went on down the road and decided to just go on straight on the, there's a place north of Vegas there to get gas. So I got out of that area. It kind of spoofed me. So when I come back about a week and a half later and go through that area, I intentionally turned around on the freeway in the median. No, there wasn't much traffic out in that area. And I turn over and I go back the other way. I want to see what the hell they did. And I'm looking, there's a gravel road out there. And the whole bit, it runs all along down through there. And they had hauled rock out of there because they had a rock dump truck that was sitting there when I went through there and saw the beams coming through. Now, I go back. You can't even tell there was a hole there. It looked like the mountain, except there was concrete just before the entry into it from the rock. That's where the alien base is. Now, Otis told me, and there's a recording, and you go to my website, stuweb.com, on the radio bar, and scroll down, and look for the one that says Otis Johnson. Now, I put it in one of the last, underneath the link of one of the last few shows we've done. But he talks about, because I was calling him because of a hitman that was on me, some bastard, Ty Dallas Jones, no less, for some reason, was going around after me. Anyway, stalking me. I didn't like it. I stopped notice about it. He had heat on him. And they were trying to get him with the sonar. But he mentions, I'm going back out to Bluffdale. Listen to the conversation, folks. So I know about Bluffdale. They put a FEMA concentration camp out on I-15 and I-70. And he said it's on the southeast corner. And it's almost 10 miles of fencing and barbed wire around the top, with guard shacks on the outside of it for the purpose when they round people up. They're going to take them there. For what purpose? Feed them to the aliens? The fallen angels? That's my question. But that's all hooked up to Jerusalem. It's all hooked up with Inslaw software, now Promise software, and now Intel computer chips, and beyond computers called artificial intelligence. And they've got bases all around the United States. I'll tell you where one of them's at. It's Cheney Reservoir in Kansas, down near Wichita. There's one in Atlanta. There's one in St. Louis. There's one in Florida. There's the one or two or three with national security and the CIA and the FBI there in the Langley area. They've also got one up in Nebraska. I won't give out the location, but it's east of Lincoln, or west of Lincoln, I'll put it that way. There's a lot of things, folks, that I know that people have no idea because of the people that I've come in contact with. Like Michael Reconosciuto, in person, in jail, in Oklahoma for 2 hours. He says, you're not Stu Webb. I said, I'm right here, pal, because somebody asked me my name. And he jumps up, and I hear his voice. He's hearing mine. We recognize because we talked on the phone a lot before he got jailed and set up by Ted Gunderson. and he got jailed and set up with a meth crack house or something that he didn't even have because he was a brilliant Jason Society kid. He was a brain child, folks, and the government used him. And Daddy Bush had him put the trap back door in the Innslaw software where they tapped into all the intelligence divisions all over the planet and hooked everybody up years ago. And to shut Michael up, they put him in jail on false charges, and he was sentenced to 23 or 4 years in jail, and he spent almost 28 in jail. When he got out, he left the country. He doesn't want to talk. These are people they cough up and use all the time. Shut him up because he came out with the truth about it. Bush used it for drug purposes. Bo Abbott was a DEA pilot, said he took the Innslaw software disk that they had of drug monies down to Noriega a couple times from the White House. He was ordered to do that. I know a few things about this stuff, folks, and Joe is on target with what he has explained to you about this all hooked up together. Now, Joe, where do you see it coming? Midsummer?
I don't know. The only thing that we have as a fact is that in July, they are going to run the simulation. So sometime after July is when they will really do it. They simulated dark winter. Then they instituted the COVID-19 paper of where we saw what happened. Businesses shut down. 50% of all businesses have collapsed in the United States of small businesses. You cannot have an economy. You can't. So what is going to happen? What are they going to do with this cyberspace polygon? They are going to do exactly what they said. If you don't comply, we're going to shut you off. And that will end everything right there, because then how do you resist?
How do you buy, sell, pay the rent, go to work? Just like the shot stuff. They think that they're going to get everybody vaccinated by the end of the year. Folks, we've tried to bring you all this information. These vaccines have got the chip in it, the mark of the beast, in my opinion. And it's killing people. I mean, I think Charlene's grabbing numbers right now, and she's saying it's coming up to around 8% from what she can see. And she's a nurse. She follows this kind of thing. That about 8% of the people are taking Mercrocan within a month. They're dying. All kinds of people are dying. Now, you know, Jeff, you brought up something in conversation about this golfer. Tell us what you know about this. What's being said? He refused to do what?
I didn't hear that last part, Stu, about the what now? Tiger Woods. You want to talk about Tiger Woods? What do you know?
Oh, Tiger. Yeah. Apparently Tiger was quite the anti-vaxxer. He wasn't big on vaccinations, and he was verbal about it. And, well, suddenly, you know, and who knows? But he has an accident. There's nobody around. And he's injured, you know, pretty badly. If you look at the front of that vehicle, boy, I mean, it could have been a lot worse. But, you know, also I believe the artist they call Prince, which I never really listened to the guy, but very popular, obviously. But he was kind of an anti-aerosol disbursement guy. I mean, he was not big. He was anti-chemtrail. So he's not around. So, I mean, I don't think there's any love lost for any of these people who buck the paradigm. You buck it, you get reprimanded or taken out. That's just kind of how they do things. And that's the kind of society where they are at a win at any cost stage, because they know that the people are awake to a degree and they can't have it. So that's why we're getting dumped down. And I feel like, you know, we're subjected to all kinds of stuff in our operations office, food, air, water. I mean, you pick it, we're getting hammered with it. So that's just kind of how life is. And I don't think they're in any hurry to fix anything. We keep hearing about infrastructure and all the problems with that, shovel-ready jobs, and green shoots, and all the stuff we heard. But it's by design. I don't think they want it any better until the whole thing kind of comes apart and unglued, and then we get the great, whatever the great reset, whatever the great repositioning, or the great this, the great that. You know, it won't be so great to us, but it's going to be a big deal.
Now, let's take one quick course in history on financial. 1981, a fallen angel, George Herbert Walker Bush, an alien-possessed human being, fallen angel, enters the vice president's house. In 1981, according to the General Accounting Office, the watchdog over the Treasury, they get their numbers for the Congress Senate, they get their numbers from the Treasury, Comptroller of Currency, IRS, etc. Now, they come up with a number for the Congress Senate to show them what their investigation has come to as far as the economy. They said 1% of the population controlled 20% of the U.S. economy. Straight across the board, 20% of all kinds of businesses. 1% of the people. This was in 1981. In June 2012, the General Accounting Office reports that 400 men control 95% of the economy. Those 400 men are called buffers, cutouts, fronts, but the CIA calls them their buffers. Those are the buffers for the 12 who control the U.S. economy. Two of those 12, I believe probably both of them are possessed. I know that Mizell is, Larry Mizell of Denver, and his sidekick, Norman Brownstein, the attorney, who was Daddy Bush's CIA counsel when he was CIA director in the 70s, are two APEC directors. Now, I know that they're controlling the money because Brownstein's the one that runs or controls basically a big block of the trusts that is front for them. Now, one controls Fidelity Financial, which controls 40-some-odd percent of the U.S. pension funds. The other one, Larry Mizell, after bank bailout, and he had to pay a fine, and J.P. Morgan paid a fine, he turns around and buys with Great West Life, which was created by my former father-in-law that was never a father-in-law to me, Leonard Millman. Now the bean inhabits Mizell. He created Great West Life. Now, Great West Life happens to own, bought from J.P. Morgan. It's based out of Overland Park, Kansas, across the state line from him. Bought the other 40-some-odd percent of the block that J.P. Morgan controlled for pension funds. They bought it from J.P. Morgan. So now Larry Mizell is in control of almost half the pension funds, and Brownstein, his partner, the APEC directors that control the Congress and Senate, are in control of the other roughly 90-some-odd percent between the two companies, Fidelity and Great West Life. Now, Mizell controls the Republicans. Brownstein controls the Democrats. Brownstein is rated as the top lobbyist in Washington, D.C. He writes 9 out of every 10 laws for the United States Congress and Senate. He has offices in Washington, offices in Denver, offices in Mexico City. And why does he have an office down there? He and Millman were caught laundering President Solanas' drug money through Citicorp, which Brownstein was a board of director member at the time. And he had to testify before Congress because I stuck a pipe in his ass, folks. That's what caused your problem, Brownstein. You didn't know about that one. Anyway, the control box is down to 12 men. The control box is 400 men controlling buffers for the 400. Now, if they've got this kind of control over the economy of the United States, look at what's going on in Europe, European Union. Look at the Federal Reserve. You just had some of the drug money, most of the drug money, from Iran-Contra that was laundered through Silverado, where these two people, Brownstein and Mizell, were on the board of directors with Neil Bush. There was laundered all the Clintons and the Bush's drug money from Mena, Arkansas, and all these other locations. Now, those two men are controlling the Congress and the Senate through bribery, through an unlimited amount of money APEC can send to them. If you were to listen on my radio bar to a recording with former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, great gal, became a friend of mine, even bought me breakfast in Kansas City and listened to my stories about 911 for an hour and a half. She wanted to hire me after that. Anyway, she's on my radio bar, her and Scott Bennett. She's talking about the APEC agreement. If you don't sign the APEC agreement, you don't get any money. You don't get voted in. She tells the whole story. She lost by one vote, folks. By the way, she became a professor after getting educated overseas on COINTELPRO program, the only university in the world that teaches on it. And COINTELPRO was the old government's game, the FBI, COINTELPRO. You ought to listen to her sometime. She's out there on the internet a lot. With that said,
I want to something to this whole transfer of wealth. Modern monetary theory, also known as Keynesian economics, quantitative easing. Joffrey, you can probably give me six or seven other different terms. Of course, they're all inversions. It's like we figured out something new or something better. The whole economy is a house of cards. We have reached the mania phase, people. And if you don't understand mania, there's a book called The Big Short, Michael Lewis, great writer. Big Short talks about derivatives. You know, originally futures contracts made sense. For a farmer, if you were going to plant something, you went with the floor or the put, the lowest price you might get for your commodity. And so there did have some rationale for hedging your bets. But now you got bets on bets on bets on bets, and you don't know who's on the other side of the bet. But here's the point. I think the globalists, the Nosferatu, the Illuminati, the Cabal, there are so many names that you could use to describe these people. They're done with America. What I tried to point out in an earlier broadcast, a couple days ago, maybe a week ago, a couple sources, or maybe the same source, repeated twice. The International Monetary Fund says the dollar is no longer going to be the world reserve currency. When the dollar is no longer the world reserve currency, other countries don't have to maintain a reserve of dollars to buy petroleum or energy. Now, some call it fossil fuels, which is just another big-ass lie, and it just about makes me blow up here. And it's all freaking insane, people. We are living in an asylum. It is madness. And these people are mad. They are crazy. They are demon-possessed. And the bottom line is they're done with America. And you can argue, really, 2007, 2008. I knew it was all over for sure in 2007, 2008 because of all the lies they were telling about how they barely saved America. That was just one script they wrote just to put us further in debt and, as Stu indicated, further control the economy. So here we are in 2020. I can't even believe we got another 8 or 12 years. But it is now no longer possible for America to build back better. And so we all have to form networks where we can. And yeah, you know, we got family members, we got extended friends, and they still appear to be clueless. But I have to tell you, one of the things that I say to anyone who wants to argue with me about masks or wants to argue about anything, I just say, you know what, I'm tired of your baseless conspiracy theories. Your conspiracy theories don't work for anymore. Everything the mainstream media tells you is a conspiracy theory. But what is the totalitarian, what is the tyrannical playbook? They accuse you of what they're doing. And so it's really pretty simple, people. You don't engage with people with their nonsense. You can't be any more earnest. You can't be any more sincere. You can't give them 2 or 3 hours trying to explain to them what they don't want to hear. No, what they need to do is wake the fuck up. And you need to say to them, you don't want to hear any more of their conspiracy theories. You don't want to hear any more of their nonsense. I'll tell you about the economy. The economy is a house of cards. It's sorcery. It's black magic. It's all phony. It's phony. You got this fiat currency, and what's going to happen is it's going to happen quicker than you can imagine. And before you know it, it'll take a $100 bill to buy what $10 used to. So if anyone can stock up on water, anyone can buy some canned food, those are the two things you're going to need because they're going to shut down the grid off and on, rolling blackouts, just like they did with Texas. Texas was another beta test. They're doing it in California. They're saying now in California because of the rains, they're going to have rolling blackouts as if they're... And the East Coast, I got to tell you, the East Coast is so far gone, I don't even know what to say about that. Now, I'm in the bold north, and I know how vulnerable we are here, but right now, everyone better get right with God, and they better prepare in any way they can to help themselves and help their neighbors, and I am done. Thank you, gentlemen.
I just want to say one thing. We have to remember what took over the U.S. Treasury and incorporated Blackstone, BlackRock, which was the old Silverado boys and the drug money, took it over. There's an article up on my website about it. Just go look. It explains it. But they're in control of everything right now. The big thing we got to worry about is, one, don't take the shot. You're going to die. and you're going to be chipped. Two, your guns. Three, your First Amendment rights, freedom of speech. First Amendment first, and then comes the Second Amendment to guarantee your First Amendment, and they're taking away our entire First Amendment. They're kicking everybody off of platforms. Like, you can't post anything about the vaccinations on Facebook, Twitter, Google, any place now, or you get kicked off. And people have been kicked off because they complained to me, called me. Listeners, now, what they're planning and what Joe's talking about is very serious. They're already in gear. The big thing we have to be concerned about is, one, your cell phone, you're being electrocuted with it. We're being fried. Our brains are being fried. Our bodies are out of frequency because of cell phones, because of Wi-Fi, because of TVs, because of the cable system. They got this thing all cranked up. And chemtrails, oh my God. I'll send you Joe and Jeff and Paul immediately after, but I'll post it up with the radio show showing chemtrails I took pictures of last night here in Oak Grove, Missouri. I mean, the skies over Kansas City off to the west were inundated with chemtrails, and I took a whole bunch of pictures so people can understand what these are. These are not contrails. These are intentional. U.S. Air Force Operation Cloverleaf was one of the names that they used, that they're spraying this. I even put a pilot on with a Dr. William Croft, who was an expert with the DOD, got in prison for exposing the fact of mold in the DOD and in the body because they were using bleach and it was intensifying it into a gas form. He found out ammonia was the thing that killed it, and they cleaned all the barracks up and everybody was okay. He brought a chemtrail pilot on in secret. The guy had to throw his throwaway phone in a ditch to get rid of the heat on him. He saw him moving in on him because he opened his mouth. He sat there and talked about this. It was all intentional. It floats at 40,000 feet, folks. We got so much heavy metal in the air. Mainly aluminum and barium are the two things that have been found. Other things, you put in chemtrails. What does it do? It lights you up. I saw a picture of a corpse supposedly died of coronavirus. I tried to get the picture off the TV station. It was gone. She was showing it. It was an x-ray of a corpse. The brain had shrunk and the lungs were glowing with some sort of metal. Figure it out. We're lit up like Christmas trees. They're electrocuting you. It's smart to turn your cell phone off. It's smart to get a lead shield bag for your cell phone when you don't want to be electrocuted or found. If you have a phone like mine, you pull the battery and chip out of it. That's one way of stopping it. But what Joe described earlier in your travel, folks, that's very true. And I know that to be fact. I also know how they snuck uranium out of Rocky Flats, which is high treason and sedition, plutonium. And then they clean the hillside at a $2.5 billion waste of taxpayers' money and they dump it in the local dump. And it was Citicorp that had the contract to clean it up. Supposedly 2,000 pounds of plutonium missing on the website or on the hillside of Rocky Flats Nuclear Arsenal in Denver, Colorado. They moved it in cranberry juice trucks to a place in St. Louis, I'm trying to think of it. It was an Israeli Mossad where that's where it went. Now, I'm just explaining this. On the roadway, the reason they used cranberry juice trucks was because there's detectors to detect radiation and other weaponry on every highway in America. We have them every place. But cranberry juice happens to give off the same signal as radiation. So that's how they weren't detected stealing the uranium, folks. Joe's right about the highways. They started putting the cameras in. When was it, Joe, in the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
Loaded them down. They got everybody as a signature.
The key on this is what people need to understand is it's just not a camera that is to monitor traffic. It's a camera that follows you personally and registers where you go, where you stop, and is transferred up to Bluffdale to do a... Bluffdale is a place where massive data downloads happen. and they say, well, it's so big, we can't do anything about it, but we have to have the data. Nonsense. The computers are now in such a nature that they are building up a profile on every person, where you go, where you don't go. And those cameras, they showed a video of where there was this needle on a strip of paper that was monitoring, making lines, and they translated that into digital math and then transferred that into where do you go, where don't you go. And they monitor you that way. Since cell phones, the cell phone tower, it's very simple, it's not complicated. Cell phone towers have now gridded in the entire world.
Now,
cell phone towers have gridded in the entire world. And so they can monitor everything you do. And do they? Yes, Bluffdale.
Now, folks, you can punch in to show you what he's talking about. Cyber attacks, two felonies right there. It says Bluffdale, Utah. I think I got more than once. Go to my website, stuweb.com. Go in the search engine. Put in Bluffdale, Utah. It'll pop up. And then click on that link and look at it. Trying to log into my site. That's a 10 to 20 year imprisonment under federal law. 10 years minimum, 20 years max for that each event. So that's anywhere from 20, 40 years. That person needs to go to jail for that. But if you go on and punch in one of my latest cyber attacks, just go to stuweb.com, look at the breaking news page, look for the recent cyber attack, and this comes from the Cheney Reservoir I mentioned earlier, part of these underground bases in Kansas, near Wichita, which is all part of the system. And look where it comes from. It's coming out of Cheney Reservoir, which is the United States government's reservoir. It's all tied to Bluffdale. But if you look at the paperwork of the IP that I tracked and posted, it ends up in Israel. All intertwined, folks. There's two pieces of evidence for you. Go take a look. It's on the breaking news page. Like I say, the most recent attack, and then punch Bluffdale in the, there's more than one, punch it in the search engine. And that tells you what Joe's has explained to you and what they're doing. Constantly trying to attack the websites to keep the information from flowing. Most websites don't load in 5 to 15 seconds. You're a fast site if you load in 1 minute. Classified, I load in 5 to 15 seconds. You don't have to be worried about someone identifying you on my site because they can't do it. They're actually closed out, folks. They think they get in here and there. I play with them. But I'm just telling you. I thought about giving this away. I thought about selling the IP numbers because I have a whole list of them. Donation. Then all you have to do is get a software and put it in. I've even thought about talking to somebody about creating a software for it. This shuts them off. That way the freedom of information flow, First Amendment right, can continue on many alternative websites. And it's not hard to set up a website. With that said, any last comments, Paul, Joe? Jeff?
Well, let me offer this. This is a kind of a first aid type of remediation of what happens to you from these electromagnetic whirls that come around us. One of the little products that can help negate some of that influence is Orgon. And go to OrgonProducts.com, and there's all kinds of Orgon cones that you can do. You can, as cheap as a dollar, and put them all around your house. Carry them on your person. They have Orgon products chips that are sometimes about $1.50. Carry about four or five of them. Put them in your pocket when you go out, wherever you go, and it'll help mitigate that cyber attack. OrgonProducts.com.
Thanks for the advice, Joe. Jeff, you got any last comments? I think he might have had an appointment. Paul?
So, anyway, I think think we've hit it hard. Always, Stu is a guy that you can give feedback to, information to. If we're missing things, if there's topics you want us to cover, and I know I mentioned it earlier, Stu, you still need the support. We need upgrades. We just need to keep this going, and we need everyone's help. Pass the word. We are who we've been waiting for. We are the Resistance Rising. But don't go out and be a cowboy right now. What you got to do is make connections and preparations.
Very good. Very good, Paul. Very good, Joe. Thank you both, and thank you, Jeff. With that said,
okay.
Have a good one, gentlemen.